Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a special Wednesday edition of the program. For those of you expecting Fantasy Hockey X, do not worry. It'll be on sometime tomorrow morning because the host is lazy and inevitably just wanted to see if he could do this show first and then Fantasy Hockey X tomorrow. Again, I'm your host, Chris Wassel. With me is, as always, Mr. Timmy Rosenthal. Good evening, Timmy.
Happy Pi Day. And just one question. Who is Henrik Lundqvist?
I'm not sure, but I know I handed my Academy Award to Mark Messier.
When the tears are running down Messier's face.
Again. And the for Best Supporting Actor award goes to Mark Messier for his rendition of the 1994 high sticking on Valeri Zalapukin.
No wonder why he guaranteed a hat trick. No, it guaranteed a win, not so much a hat trick, but a win nonetheless.
Hey, ways to injure people to get to the Stanley Cup. It's a time.
Where has that happened before? I don't know. Maybe ask Claude Lemieux in Colorado.
Yeah, Claude, 96. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, but at least that team, I mean, there was a couple of rounds where they got by.
Yeah.
Now, 10 years later, there was a team that literally injured their way every round to the Stanley Cup. Or some would argue that, at least. In the Carolina Hurricanes. And one might suggest that they've been paying for it in a way ever since.
And I don't know if 10 years is worth it, though. I mean, we look at last night's game, and was it so much that the Hurricanes blew it or the Bruins put in a miraculous comeback? And I'll tell you why. I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah, there was kind of a strange ebb and flow to that game around, I wouldn't even say when the first Boston goal was scored in the second half of the period. I would say a few minutes before, you could notice definitely a discernible shift in the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Carolina sitting back. So.
And then once Heinen tied it up, you knew they were going to win that game. Whether it took overtime or not, I don't know, but you knew they were going to win that game.
You had the feeling that once the second goal of the period went in, it's like, you know, something's kind of not right here. Now, of course, we can't watch the video of it because we're geo-blocked in the United States. Someday, somebody will figure this out, and we'll be able to actually, I don't know. Well, the Americans and Canadians will get along.
Yeah, you know who geo-blocked it, I'm convinced? It's the anchor from Carolina, who, and this is one of the funniest things I've seen, and it was done in a good-hearted nature, so please don't call bias here. But if you missed it today, this Carolina anchor conveniently ignored all of the Bruins goals. He went all homerific with the Carolina goals, and it is quite funny, and I recommend you find that on the internet. It's all over the internet now. I'm sure it's been trending for the past few hours, and enjoy it because you'll get a laugh out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of thing sometimes you need to have a little sense of humor when these things happen. Now, the reality for Carolina is this. Barring some kind of miraculous run, they're done. They're bluntly done. And it would be, look, if you base it on the fact that they would need, in theory, somewhere between 92 and 94 points to make the playoffs, and they have several teams to jump, it would be extremely difficult for them to make the playoffs, given the circumstances. But like I said, that was one of the more bizarre. Look, we joke about the 40 something seconds that won Boston the Stanley Cup.
Mhm. 17 seconds to be exact.
Yeah, 17 total, but 40. You know, with 40, a little less than 40. What was it, like 49 seconds left?
Yep. It's a little under a minute when they scored their first one, so yeah.
Right, and then it was, yeah, see, my math's still kind of there. But this was definitely 77 seconds that changed the Carolina world, at least for this season. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't when I saw it. Now, this is a true story. I went to the bathroom. It was 4-1. I got out of the bathroom, went downstairs, turned the TV back on, and it was 4-4. That fast.
Yeah. If you blinked, you missed it.
Yeah, I remember there was only one short commercial break in between the three goals. So you have to keep that. You have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just doing that medieval math. I mean, all right, let's put it this way. All right.
Before that, we got some breaking injury ninja news.
Not again. What did I do now?
You did this to, Frederick Anderson, who will not return to tonight's game due to an upper body injury. Right now, Leafs are trailing 4-2 to the Stars.
Well, now here's
and Kerry Lehtinen, I'm convinced, is also playing net for Toronto.
At times he is. At times he definitely is. At least for the first 5 minutes, he definitely was playing for Toronto. I looked at this. And I thought honestly that Anderson injured his lower body because it looked like he felt like he needed to take a crap. He kind of was grimacing, so maybe that he was moving his shoulder, you couldn't quite see the angle fully. So again, look, in Toronto world, you have to pray again that Frederick Anderson is not hurt for a serious amount of time. He probably isn't. He's played a lot of hockey lately, needs a little bit of a rest. And don't be surprised if he's rested a game or two or three in the next little bit. One thing that is interesting with Toronto, and the reason why we half-heartedly joke about the craps and et cetera, is the fact that Nikita Zaitsev is still sick with what they're deeming flu-like symptoms right now. And he's been sick for about a week. So, is it something worse? Is it sniffles with, did it turn into bronchitis or something? I mean, look, there's a lot of people sick with all sorts of things right now. Don't worry, folks. I'm not using too much hand sanitizer because that will burn your hands. However, we are washing our hands vigorously and taking our vitamins and not drinking out of the same water bottle. So we have
really? Now, the good thing Toronto has going for them, yes, they're 9 points out of home ice, but they're 12 points ahead of Florida. They are not losing third in the Atlantic Division. I do think they're pretty much settled into that spot. The question is, who will they be playing in the first round? Is it Tampa or is it going to be Boston? My money's on Boston right now, but who knows? Maybe Tampa craps the bed again and falls to second.
Well, here's the goofy thing in all of this, right? On the note, over the last 10 games, as hard as this is to sound, Tampa Bay has more points than Boston.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like it.
No, especially since the Bruins gained a little bit of ground on them.
Right. Now, Tampa Bay is allowing nearly 3.5 goals a game over the last 10 games. 33 goals in the last 10 games. That's a lot.
Yeah. And, I believe Boston is right up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty nuts.
Yeah, Boston over the last month has the third highest expected goals allowed for 60 in the league. Yay. And yet, despite this, and you would look, the two teams have combined for a 15-4-1 record over the last 20 games somehow. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Now, the good thing for Boston, obviously, is they have two games in hand and are only 4 points out of the division. And yes, Timmy, yes, as hard as this is, this believe, league lead in points.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sink in. League lead in points. And Boston. In
that all-important President's Trophy race.
Do you really want to win the President's Trophy? Is this
no.
really necessary? I can't remember. The last team to win the President's Trophy.
And that would be Chicago. Last team to win the President's Trophy and the Cup. Now, that was a lockout shortened season. I believe the last team to do it in 82 games, I believe it's Detroit.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So it's been a while. It's been a while as far as full seasons. Yeah, it's been that kind of sort of run, if you will. Now, the fun part in all of this, of course, is going through the standings and such, and we know that there's lots of teams that are dead in the water, literally. Detroit is trying to catch everybody. They've lost seven straight. They have a shot. They really do.
More breaking news. Pierre McGuire is back between the benches, so the Susan Sarandon experiment is over on NBCSN.
There is a God. There finally is a God. Oh, my God. Sorry, folks. That was... You don't want to watch something like that. Dear NHL and NBC Sports, please never try anything like that ever, ever again. Just don't do it. Don't bother. It's a waste of your time. Speaking of crazy things that are not a waste of our time, the wacky, 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 wacky Central Division where everybody is in it but, Chicago. Even St. Louis, by winning two straight, has now managed to pull themselves back up a little bit where they're back in the conversation for a playoff spot. Yes, it is truly crazy season.
Well, that wild card race in particular.
Yeah, I mean, in the West, at least, you have basically, you have your obvious locks. Okay, so we'll go through this just real fast. Nashville's been. Winnipeg is in. Vegas is in. Those are the givens right now. Those three are in, no matter what. After that, it starts to get dicey. And this is why. People are going to say, well, Minnesota has 85 points, Chris. They seem to be in the driver's seat. Oh, no, 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 no. The injury ninja has spoken. Jarrett Spurgeon has partially torn his hamstring. He is out at least 4 to 6 weeks. Spurgeon is their best defenseman. He makes Ryan Suter look like he's 29 still. Even if Ryan Suter is not 29, obviously. A problem. And that's a big problem. Spurgeon is a less heralded guy who, if he could play an 82-game season, probably could get somewhere between 45 and 50 points a year at least for Minnesota. Is now going to miss the last 12 games of the season from the regular season for Minnesota, and if Minnesota gets into the playoffs, may miss part or all of round one. It just depends on how fast the hamstring heals. It's a big injury, especially considering, holy crap, despite all odds, Timmy, the Colorado Avalanche are breathing down their neck with 82 points. Oh, by the way, they have a game in hand and have one of the best home record, well, not best outputs for home teams in the entire league.
It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't know, Colorado is 24-8-2 at home. But more importantly, Nathan MacKinnon is averaging like 1.75 points a game at home. It's insane. It's like that season from a couple years ago where Johnny Gaudreau was averaging over a point and a half a game for the Flames. It's that kind of craziness.
And because of that, he's seen himself right in the conversation for the Hart
Trophy. And I refuse to give him the Hart Trophy because if you don't average at least a point a game on the road, you don't deserve it.
Or close to it, anyway.
Well, I mean, now that he's starting to score a few more points on the road, he is creeping up to around 9/10 of a point a game, which means, I might have to change my vote. I mean, it's one of those things. The disparity between home and road was a little bit too much, but now that it's kind of even. Look, even Nashville was the reverse throughout the first half of the season. They had a better home record, but their road stats were way better than home. part of that was because literally Pekka-Rinne carried him on a nightly basis. But if you look at Rinne's stats now, the home and road splits are pretty identical. It means that they've gotten even better. And that's despite some sloppy play. Again, it's kind of the same. You see these teams and go, oh, okay, you know. And somehow they're, Nashville, for example, is 10-0-1 in their last 11. And they've had some moments where they've looked awful in that stretch. And yet, found a way. Keep finding ways to win. Same kind of thing.
Toronto may be finding that right now, or at least trying to crawl back in it. Their second superior shot total tonight with Sport, they've already matched that through the first 6-7 minutes or so, and it pulled it within one. James Van Riemsdyk with his 28th of the year.
Future New Jersey Devil, by the way. Hey, they can come home.
Even though he might have been more of a Philly guy, who the hell knows?
He's closer to Newark than he is to Philly. I don't know. That's all I heard when I lived down in Middletown, New Jersey. Was literally James Van Riemsdyk, Van Riemsdyk, Van Riemsdyk, Van Riemsdyk, and not that other Van Riemsdyk. just a matter of fact. But how crazy is this? Now you're looking at this. So Minnesota might miss the playoffs. It's possible. Dallas is holding on for dear life tonight against Toronto. They have to win this game. Because they'll be the first one in the division to play 71 games. But they have to win this. There's no other way around it. And they've been, you know, obviously struggling of late, and it didn't help that Ben Bishop got hurt again. It looks like he'll be ready for the weekend, thankfully, and not a moment too soon for Dallas. Because look, let's be honest, they haven't been banged up from a volume standpoint, but the timing has been bad with their injuries. So, and still think guy like John Klingberg is not 100% lately. Sort of like Alex Pietrangelo for St. Louis, Timmy. Something doesn't seem right. So, you know, again, it's one of those weird sort of things. But any team from 3-6 in the Central could either make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. Pretty crazy. And it's kind of that way in the Pacific as well. At least it's 3-5, the 3rd-5th place teams. Now, this is bizarre. Pacific Division, literally nobody is really on a hot streak right now, except for kind of Vegas, who's won 3 straight. Everybody else, though, and amazingly, Vegas has been able to maintain about between a 10 to 12 point lead since around the All-Star break. It really hasn't gone up too high, and it really hasn't gone down too much. It's maintained right around the same amount, which tends to mean that if I'm doing my math, Timmy, so 13 games left, they're up 12 points. That means San Jose and LA would basically have to make up a point per game, thereabouts, to catch them. No. plus, add in this simple fun fact. Vegas will have 7 games at home and 6 on the road. I think that's about the math. Let's see. 7. Wait, no. 8 games, including tonight. So that's not a good sign for the rest of the league. Okay. By the way, the numbers don't add up, TSN. just putting out. This is funny. All right, here we go. Wow, that's pretty bad. Yeah, 8-5. There you go. We'll fix it for you.
Yeah, it'll be 7-5 after tonight.
After tonight. But basically, yeah, Vegas is going to win the division and be the 2 seed. I don't think they're going to catch Nashville or Winnipeg. It just doesn't look like it unless the thing is, Winnipeg would have to get 8 points on Nashville in the final 12 games, and I don't think that's going to happen either.
No.
So it's going to kind of piece out. You know, it's going to kind of piece out where, you know, Vegas is going to probably play. They'll play wild card. They'll play the first wild card.
Mm-hmm.
That could be anybody. That basically could be anybody from Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, St. Louis,
San Jose,
Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Calgary.
And how is Calgary still in the mix there? One of the worst home records in the league.
Well,
quite good on the road, but you know, it's quite the opposite last year.
How is Calgary still in this? And the funny part is Calgary actually has been around 500 on the road since about a month ago when they beat New Jersey. They were something like 15-5-4 on the road. So they've basically been about 500 since. Let's see, by my math, 5-5-2 since on the road. So. Yeah, it's a weird sort of team. I mean, Calgary's found ways to win, and Mike Smith was injured. He missed a pretty extended stretch where the goaltending was bad.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, you know, he looked dialed in last night. He looked excellent in net. As a matter of fact, I don't think Edmonton stood much of a chance in that game, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Not just saying the obvious because it was a shutout, but Smith played well. It was a high event. It was a high event game. So give him credit.
Yeah, you know, and he's their hope for the playoffs. He really is.
And it's something because we always joked like through the last several years that if Calgary ever got average or above average goaltending, that they would make the playoffs. Well, turns out this year they've needed it's strange because you look at if Mike Smith were able to stay healthy, and that's not his fault necessarily. I mean, things like this happen, but they do seem to happen more to some goalies more than others. So we took a quick look at this. Before Toronto scores on the power play. I'm kidding. They are on the power play, though. You look at some of the numbers, and it's funny because, you know, Johnny Gaudreau has 80 points, for example, and his points are pretty evenly distributed between home and road. Monahan is their 30-goal scorer. Kachuk is day-to-day right now with an injury. I think he just rammed his shoulder really hard. Which seems to be the injury. Hey, the injury du jour seems to be injuring one's shoulder, either shoulder or head again. It's come full circle. But you know, you look at the Smith numbers. He's 2.5 goals against, and he has a .922 save percentage and 3 shutouts. And then you look at Gillies and Rittich, who basically are below average goaltenders right now. And the funny part in this is, shots per 60s-wise, Smith is facing more shots than the two backups. Gillies actually was, funny enough, did not play half bad, but again, just one of those kind of weird things where he had no luck at all. Now, look, Calgary is weak in the shootout. I mean, Smith has only stopped a little over half of his shots, and Rittich in the shootout, 2-for-6. 333 save percentage there. Ow. So if you're looking for a reason why Calgary may not make the playoffs, it may be the shootout more than anything else. They do have 10 overtime losses, and 6 of them, I believe it was 6 or via shootout, 6 or 7. It's a substantial number. So, again, it is a wild, 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 wacky, and Timmy, I wasn't kidding. Toronto really did tie down the power play. So here we go.
I saw that coming. And guess who scored again?
James Van Riemsdyk. Is that a Jersey pork roll hat trick? Yes, it's pork roll. You sons of bitches.
Not quite, but close.
Yeah. It's all, well, if it was a natural, yeah, it was a natural, wasn't it?
Was it? Yes.
Wow, it's the natural pork roll hat trick. Boy, if I never been more happy to have James Riemsdyk in my fantasy league. Yeah. And Tyler Bozak too. Tyler Bozak, the guy that just will never die in Toronto. You know, we joke about Thomas Caberlet, but Bozak really is the one guy that has been rumored forever to be traded, and he's managed to survive. All right.
Somehow, some way.
Getting to the East, like we mentioned, the East has more locks, obviously. Tampa in, Boston in, Toronto, we'll just call it in. After that, it's interesting because Columbus has come out of not nowhere, but they've come back from the dead. So they're in the first wild card spot right now. Devils are in second wild card spot with a game in hand. Philadelphia is starting to slide back a little bit. Washington's bounced back a hair, but they've been up, kind of up and down and all over the place as well.
Mm-hmm. I would say they're not in, but they're pretty close to that.
Right. So here's what we'll do.
Same with Pittsburgh.
Even though Pittsburgh has 84 points right now, and it looks like it'll be 86, barring some kind of miraculous something with the Rangers.
You mean Ryan Spooner dishing out three more assists in the third period, if that was what it takes?
Could happen. Not likely, but always possible. But, yeah, I mean, I would have to consider Pittsburgh in right now. And I would probably consider Washington in at this point. I know the points aren't there, Timmy, because, we talked about the West and 85 points. I'm like, not just yet. But at least in the East, with the way they're playing and Pittsburgh's schedule is, well, OKC City for the most part. After tonight. So, yeah, they're in. And I can't see them not getting in. And Washington's schedule is not that tough either. So they're probably in as well. And, after that, I mean, you have Philly, Columbus, New Jersey, and Carolina on the very, very fringe. Now, if the Islanders were to win their game in hand tomorrow and then miraculously do some magic things, but I can't see it. I mean, they're 2-4-4 in their last 10, and they have just been horrendous. I mean, they've lost 8-9. That's kind of tough to sit there and go, yeah, they're going to go on a run.
And here's the thing. Garth Snow doing nothing at the trade deadline didn't help at all.
No. I mean, but here's the problem. With that team, the way it's set up, what do you do?
Yeah.
What hole do you plug first? Because there's several holes. And you have a number two center that's playing like a number one and a number one center that at times is playing like a number two. Yes, we went there. I mean, there's times when John Tavares really looks completely just in another world. Good example of that was a couple weeks ago against New Jersey, where Matt Barzal was dominating up and down the ice, and Tavares just couldn't bury anything. I mean, he had chances. It's just like, what gives? And eventually New Jersey did win. That was Patrick Galiash night.
Both have nice point totals, averaging exactly a point per game.
Oh, absolutely. But one point a game is not quite the same as the others. And,
no. Even Josh Bailey's point per game is a little different than, not just because of the point total, but just because of the impact.
Yeah, the impact just hasn't been there. And look, even when Matt Barzal isn't getting points, and I understand the whole secondary assist debate and everything else, I get that from people. I understand. Look at what havoc Barzal creates when he's on the ice, especially on the power play. He makes that power play with Tavares on it look really good because of his speed and his ability to move away from the puck. I mean, just the acceleration alone. I mean, it was, Timmy, it was hilarious to watch Travis Zajac try to keep up with Matthew Barzal. It was hilarious. I mean, you just sat there and you just went, no, 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 this is not good. Please make this stop. Oh my God, John Hines, Christ, you have the line, you have the first line change. Just put somebody on him that can keep up with him somewhat. Put Miles Wood at center for a few shifts, please, something.
Heck, try Hischier even.
Yeah, and Hischier was on for a couple of his shifts, and it was quite an interesting watching them chase each other. It looked like the game. Remember the old game Niblet with the little like line mouse that went around the screen and you had to keep overlapping it. And it's kind of like that. It was fun to watch, but again, the Islanders are a mess, and I have to consider them out. I mean, honestly, Carolina's out at this point too. Basically, all right, let's put it this way. Even if you set the bar at 92 points, even if you set the bar at 92, Carolina has to basically go at this point. They have to get 21 points.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go 10-1-1
in 12 games.
In 12 games, 10-1-1. Okay, so all right, for perspective, and this can happen, I suppose, as it has before, but they're 3-6-1 in the last 10. They're giving up 3.12 goals a game. And that includes almost 3.3 on the road. Since January 1st, they're allowing almost 3.25 goals a game overall. They just blew a 4-1 lead last night against Boston. At home. Let's let that sink in again. At home. If you do not think that is going to have some kind of carryover effect, a bridge to sell you.
In front of 7,000, 8,000 fans, mind you, but.
Yeah, I know. I still have my dreams of bring back the whale. Let me have my dream to me. I want the whale.
I would like to see it too. No, even if Carolina somewhat adopted it a little bit just to pay homage to the past, I'd be fine with that.
I'd like it.
But, I think the new owners there might do a little something with that, and I think they publicly state that. Whether that comes to fruition or not, who the hell knows, but I guess at least there's a promise.
I kind of think they will. That would be pretty darn cool, to be honest. But like we said, going through this, and it's kind of hilarious. Pittsburgh's the best team in the division, or none. You know, the goals have kind of come back. The record has come up enough. Should be enough probably to take the division, I would think. Based on how they're playing, they should have just enough points in the bank when all is said and done. Yes, Washington has a game in hand, but they also have a struggling goaltender. And Matt Murray will be back.
I think their strategy this year is sleep to the playoffs. It didn't work. Getting hot before playoffs didn't work, so.
So we're trying to just to do the whole, like, just sleepwalk in. Oh, by the way, Dallas has taken the lead again. Aw, oops. So let's see. So now that was wow. Brett Ritchie has made a sighting, Timmy.
Wow.
Oh, into the tournament, young Richie. Of course, assisted by Megan and Ben, which makes a lot of sense. The goofy part in this tonight too is Dallas's penalty kill has not been very good. I know they only gave up one goal. Hold on, yeah, by my one goal, the other one was just the penalty was ended by a little bit, but still, given up a lot of chances, a lot. And I can't fault Lettinen really for the last two goals. The first two, that was rough. It's gonna be an interesting final five minutes there, in Toronto, and then obviously San Jose and Edmonton get underway in a little bit. The news out of Edmonton is getting more bleak by the second. The shutdown phase of the NHL season has begun in earnest, and I guess this is a perfect segue to throw in here, Timmy. It's time for that damn injury ninja.
the moment we've all been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. There are now 111 injuries in the NHL. 111. Holy shit. Excuse my language, but it was like 90 just a week ago.
So we have 21 new ones, including
three in one game, and I think 15 from one night. I mean, it seemed like every second I was looking up, it's like, crap, really? Crap, what? All right, so we'll try to update some of the more notable ones. Good news for Arizona, by the way. Darcy Kuemper seems to be recovering just fine from whatever flu outbreak hit Arizona, of all places. I thought this flu was starting to finally loosen its grip, but it seems like in little bits and pieces, the flu and or I guess what you call a sinus cold or bronchitis or whatever seems to be still kind of lingering, if you will. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think the extended winter has helped really.
Oh, you mean the Boston winter?
The Boston winter, the Tri-Nor'easter and 10-day winter as well.
Oh, you mean that one that, we missed. We want snow, damn it. Send snow here. That was ridiculous. For those that don't know, basically, Boston got about 15 inches, depending on where you were in the area. Some places, obviously, more. Now, here's a goofy one. There was a place in Connecticut, Timmy, on the coast, that got 22.5 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
12 miles down the coast, they only got 3.
Sounds about right.
And they're trying to figure this out, and it does both locations do verify, and they cannot figure out how this happened. There's like this weird little spike where there was only 3 to 6 inches of snow in Connecticut, and to the left there was over a foot, and to the right there was over a foot. And there's just no real, like, the weather people are just like, huh?
And it's still early to call, but we might be getting another one next week. And in that case, I am going straight to the bunker.
Hey, I'm telling you, Timmy, New York City bound, because we're not getting anything. We're like in a donut hole in this area. I wish I was kidding. You know, the radar at one point the other day said it was snowing, and I just looked out and I started laughing. I'm like, oh, that looks so cute. It's like the lightest snow flurry you've ever seen. Yet, Weather Channel app says heavy snow. What? No. But, yeah, that's the kind of, deal it's sort of been. But, yeah, I mean, and the injury bug has definitely hit. So, basically, as everybody knows, we're waiting on the Patrice Bergeron reevaluation, which is supposed to literally be any day now, supposedly. Talk that they would reevaluate him to see
yep.
how bad the foot really is. And fantasy owners are literally like on my case. Well, Chris, when is it? What can I expect? I don't know. No one knows until they are, actually re-examine him and see. They're gonna do. I guess they're gonna do another CT scan on his foot to see if the break is a little cleaner and any. There was really nothing around it that was impacted. So
right.
it's just that break itself. So
yep.
I mean,
well, if anyone really wants to have, if there's the slightest of update I can give you, it's that Bergeron is not using crutches right now.
He
got
off
them on Saturday. I don't know what that means. He was still on his walking boot, but chances are, if you see him on the ice skating, and you'll see him back within a week of when he returns with his teammates.
Yeah, I've heard by the weekend he should be practicing, maybe even Friday. So we'll see.
I don't think he's going to join them on the trip. I think he's going to come back.
No. He might just skate on his own at that point. Yeah, it's for the best. Obviously, like we said, Charlie McAvoy is probably out till the end of the month, reasonably in that time frame. Now, obviously, Jake DeBrusk is day to day. We'll know more tomorrow. Corey Krug, we'll know more tomorrow. Zdeno Chara, we'll know more tomorrow. It really is the case too, because something about snow or something. I mean. The technology, it's like we can't get mush dog to get the MRIs and exams needed faster. That's just not how it works. And it's kind of funny that another Paul Stastny for Winnipeg, we'll touch on him a little bit later, kind of the same sort of technical difficulty. Buffalo, by the way, Jack Eichel could be back next week. He's been seen skating. And that would be a significant surprise, given the fact that, to be fair, he comes back next week, it'll be 6 weeks to me.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just about exactly 6 weeks. Some people said four. 6 to 8 weeks, you dum-dums. Don't question the injury ninja on this one. Eichel has done this before. We kind of have a baseline based on just about the same exact type of injury and the same amount of damage. So, again, yeah, you could go a little bit lower than 6 to 8 weeks, but it's going to be right about in that ballpark. Obviously, Kyle Okposo suffering another concussion. I wouldn't be surprised if he shut down. I really wouldn't be. For Calgary, we mentioned Matthew Tkachuk. It's not serious. It's not really something to worry about. He should be back any day now, to be honest. Anthony Duclair, who got the Deacon Jones head slap from Brad Muchan. I went there, Timmy. I used the Deacon Jones head slap in a sentence. I know it was more of a clothesline or an attempted clothesline, but I still like the head slap. I don't know what it is. It's the Moe and Curly, right?
Because Larry was left out.
Larry got left out.
Because he always does, and that just pisses me off. That
after
all these years, Larry is essentially the lone wolf.
Forgotten stooge. He really is the forgotten stooge. It's like Led Zeppelin. It's like basically having, your bassist is the forgotten member.
He's the Ringo Starr of the Three Stooges.
In his own way, yeah. But the good news for Anthony Duclair is he's only going to be out 1 to 2 weeks with a mild knee sprain and a little bit of an ankle tweak. That's not bad at all, considering how ugly that injury looked. At first glance, you never like to see when the knee bends like that. Fortunately, okay.
Toronto just tied it up with 15.3 ticks left in regulation. Patrick Marleau.
Oh, come on! Really?
Yep.
I was about to start to. Yep. Just happens. Just does. Carry letting them in.
Yeah, but that was Klingberg and Liddell, their top pairing, being on the ice
That's
for a wicked long time.
Yeah, that was That was a long time to be left on the ice. But all right. So Colorado has a slight concussion problem. They have three players that have concussion-like symptoms. To be fair, Jonathan Bernier has actually been diagnosed with having more or less whiplash. He has a neck contusion right now and is day-to-day. Mind you, this is after he missed about 8 to 10 games with a concussion. They need him back ASAP because of Semyon Varlamov's injury history. They just do. If they expect to make the playoffs. And again, this is where the variables start to come in. It's like, oh God, all these injuries, what's going to happen? Is it going to affect the playoff race? You bet it is, and it has. Eric Johnson apparently is closer to returning than not and could be back in the next several days to a week. There are some Colorado fans, and I kid you not, Timmy, that don't want him to come back right now because Colorado is kind of on a roll, but again, he's kind of close to returning. Let's see. What else is here? All right, Columbus, Matt Calvert, wash your goddamn hands still. He did skate today. He should be back, if not tomorrow, over the weekend. Seth Jones, he's fine. He's going to play tomorrow against, I think, aren't they playing Philly tomorrow, Timmy?
I believe so.
Oh, God, what do I do then? I've got to root for one of those teams to win in regulation. Damn, that's not good.
Yep, they're in Philly tomorrow.
Ah, shoot, that's not good at all. All right. All right, going through these, Dallas, Marty Hansel's out for 6 months. 6 to 7 months, he will have spinal fusion surgery. That's right, spinal fusion. Don't worry, he doesn't have any fantasy value anyway. Ben Bishop hurt his knee and his groin. Nothing major, just kind of tweaked both. He'll be back over the weekend. Should be all right. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, Jarrett Spurgeon partially tore his hamstring. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks, at least. The Montreal Canadiens, ow. So let's see, Timmy. All right, so Weber, among the notables, Weber, Price, and Pacioretty all shut down. Now Price is not official, but if you really think Carey Price is coming back this year, other than maybe for the last couple games, if he's smart, it's not worth it.
No.
And arguably, Andy Niemi's playing better anyway than out of all the freaking Atlantic goaltenders. Niemi might be the best goaltender in the division right now.
Yeah, he's been standing on his head the past few weeks.
I can't believe it. I'm saying that, Timmy. He's very scared. But it's true. All right, so it looks like Schlamko might be shut down. The rookie was shut. Mete was shut down. Valiev may be shut down. Philip Deneau, after having a concussion, came back and now is having severe headaches, which is usually a bad sign. And then Andrew Shaw got another concussion from hitting himself and then getting punched in the head twice. I'd almost have to say he's done. For the Devils, Travis Ajak is playing tonight, so we can take the little squeegee marker and scratch him off. Good news. Pavel Zaka, no, not so much. He probably won't be available for the rest of the road trip. Marcus Johansson is skating on his own and making progress. Now, I'm not ruling out a comeback before the end of the month, actually, which would be excellent news for New Jersey because they need all the scoring help they can get. And depth. But there is definitely some growing sense that Johansson could be back in the next couple weeks if all goes well. He doesn't have another setback from, yeah, Timmy, I'm going there. That rat piss. Yeah, I know. This seems to always happen to New Jersey players. I don't know why. And Stevens. Weird how that happens and sort of cyclical karma. True. So there's that. And then the Islanders have a bunch of basically, I mean, this is weird. Now, Nikolai Kuhlman's been basically out for forever. And yet, he may play by the end of the season. Strange, but true. Thomas Greiss is skating. So again, there is the three-headed goalie monster in Brooklyn, just like 2 years ago. Let's see, the Rangers, Kevin Shattenkirk may try to return before the end of the season.
He'd be better off being shut down.
I do too, and I said the same about Andres Pavlik. I think it's a little bit more than a sprained MCL. I think it's a grade one MCL tear. Because it just seems it's been 5 weeks at least. It's been 5.5 weeks, and there's really no news on him at all. So, and then obviously the injury the other night with Tony DeAngelo, he's out for the rest of the season. He's out at least 4 weeks. Don't say look at three. It's at least 4 weeks with the sprained ankle, and he does have some ligament contusions as well. So don't hold your breath. Ottawa, Mark Stone is week to week with a leg injury. It is not anything torn. I have to explain this again for people. Not torn. Very important. Now, the question is, does Guy Boucher risk playing him? They probably will bring him back. If he's ready in a couple weeks, Demi, he'll play. Unlike some of these guys, he will play. He'll kind of force his way in. So I wouldn't be surprised there. Philadelphia, ouch. But so far it's working. It's funny, they acquired Johnny Oduya, and then a couple days later he got hurt. It's just like he hasn't been back since. Robert Hagg is now out. He's day-to-day as well. Pittsburgh, Matthew Murray has been skating. I think he'll be back again next several days to a week probably. Which is great news for Pittsburgh, as if they've held their own with Murray out over the past couple weeks. And they should be all right. Sharks, again, nobody seems to really know what's going on with Joe Thornton except Joe Thornton. It's been about almost 8 weeks since the MCL, quote-unquote, sprain diagnosis, which even though the surgery looked like it was for something more. and it's one of those things, it's like, we're not going to know until the playoffs. And I have this weird feeling that Thornton's going to try and give it a go, and it's not going to go well.
I really don't think it will either.
Yeah, I can't see it. I mean, he's tried this before, and I forgot what it was.
He's not the same player. Trying to play through an injury.
You figure, what is approaching how old now?
Almost 40.
So the recovery.
He might be close to 40 now.
Yeah, he's just about right up smack against it. St. Louis, Carter Hutton is the injury to keep an eye on. Obviously, Carter Hutton's had an almost Vezina-like season, just in a much lesser role. He's only played about 30 games. To be back hopefully in the next few days to a week. Yeah, another player that had like this sort of neck contusion / whiplash / whatever you want to call it, out of nowhere. It's been out a week. Kind of how it's been in the NHL lately. These strange sort of injuries. We mentioned Toronto. Matthews should be back in the next week or two, if all goes well. That shoulder separation. And Nikita Zaitsev, again, maybe Saturday, maybe next week. I don't know. I mean, Mike Babcock today said basically nothing has changed. So until he can skate a full practice, not playing, and it's that simple. Vancouver, let's see. Out for the season. Tanev, out for the season. Erickson, out for the season. Berchi, out for the season. Brock Besser, now out for the season. And add Eric Gabranson, who will be out for the next 6 months. After having surgery as well. So you won't see him till training camp. Yeah, so there is actually a total of 7 players out for the season for Vancouver now. All right, Vegas, let's see. Obviously, no James Neal tonight, but close. Lucas Spezza, nope, not for a while. And Riley Smith is getting closer, but maybe another game or two before he returns. So that's good news for Vegas because their top line hasn't been the same since Riley Smith went out. They've been a little bit more vulnerable. Winnipeg. It's tough because we don't really have a lot of information to go on here. Paul Stastny hurt himself before warm-ups, of all things. And this is something that's happened before. Evaluation to come sometime on Thursday. If you're Winnipeg, you hope this is not serious at all. He fit in extremely well in Winnipeg. A lot of chemistry.
And a role that's perfect for him.
Exactly. And, yeah, I know the whole, well, he's making how much ever millions a year. But that doesn't matter now. By the way, Dallas has the dreaded power play. Well, actually, the tail stages of a power play right now in overtime. So this should be interesting. What's funny about this game, shots wise, is right about on the lower end of a high event game. So it's actually balanced out somehow. And Toronto's killed it off. So
skills, guys. We're going to go skills.
Yep. We're going to the dreaded shootout. Pittsburgh is still up 2-0 on the Rangers. And I will say this. And I would like to see more of him just because. And I know the Rangers had about a bad minute in the second period, which cost them this game. I'm not going to lie. I want to see more of Alexei Georgiev. I really do. I like the way he plays. There is something about his game. I don't know. Look, New York has a Russian wunderkind prospect in the KHL that will more than likely take the reins from, I'm sorry, Alexander. I always call him Alexei. I don't know why. I think that was like his nickname or something at one point. But Georgiev has faced just about 30 shots in this game. And at one point it was just, I think high danger chances were 9-1, 8 or 9-1 Pittsburgh at one point in this. Needless to say, the Rangers have not looked like they've had much life in this one, aside from maybe Zibanejad, and that's about it. It's been pretty ugly. As a matter of fact, if my math is right, Timmy, I think literally, they've won 16 faceoffs because they had Nemestikov actually taking faceoffs now because of all the injuries.
Like he's going to transition to center.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of funny. What they've kind of done is they've played him as a center, sort of, and they're switching Spooner around. So Spooner's really not playing center. He's kind of playing left wing. Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the utilizations, and it's just like, oh boy, it's pretty ugly. As a matter of fact, really can't be too surprised by this. Pittsburgh's only taken one penalty in this game, and I would even argue that one was probably not a penalty. Just kind of the way it's been. As for San Jose and Edmonton, like we mentioned, it's tied at one. Because you totally expected Drake Kegula to score a goal instead of Connor McDavid. Come on, I was totally expecting McDavid. Come on. I mean, I'm disappointed. Yeah, it's like the bottom six had erupted. And then
this might be the most random hockey tweet of all time. From Amanda Stein, if I owned an NHL team, I would make sure there was fresh fruits and vegetables at the press box. Yeah, we do need to eat healthy. I will say that, but
you're in Vegas, Amanda. It's okay. If I'm in Vegas, I want Wolfgang Puck to serve me freaking food, okay? By the way, his restaurant is very good. It's $99 for a five-course meal, and it is well worth it at least do once in your lifetime.
Yes. My uncle used to work for the Wolfgang Puck chain there.
I did it in June, so
yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to do it. Some of us went to Chicago, some of us went to Vegas again because it seemed like fun. it was. But yeah, I mean that's the kind, you know, look, that's the kind of night it's been. There's two late games, by the way, for those that are wondering. If you're a Vancouver fan, I'm sure you're not watching it. You're probably getting ready to like watch something else. And there is like a horde of about 200 or 300 Devils fans at least in Vegas for the Vegas game.
And Mitch Marner ends it in the shootout. So congratulations, Toronto, on your skills competition victory.
Yay! And, okay, yes, we get it. You're making the playoffs. but, yeah, that's the kind of thing that's going on, folks. You know, couple other news and notes along the way that we'll work on. We're pondering a move of sorts. We'll see how it works out. We may be getting our sound clips back at long last. Hopefully.
I think we need a whole show just to play those long lost sound clips, because we have to add a few more as well. Like maybe an update to the Hashioki machine.
You know how long it's going to take me just to... Somebody's going to have to record these for me, Timmy. At least some of them. I have a few saved still. I have the Brass Bonanza still. That didn't get lost. But we'll work on hopefully once the regular season ends, I'll be able to start working on getting some of the sound clips together for everybody. You know, again, folks, as always, you can listen to the program on iTunes. It's usually available the next morning, sometimes earlier, sometimes breakfast time, depending on how things load into the machine, so to speak. And God willing, if there isn't another nor'easter, or a bad one, keep your fingers crossed. We'll be back next week with more injury mayhem and of course more hockey news, because there's going to be a lot more that we do want to talk about. I'm saving goalie interference till next week, Timmy, because I'm sure there'll be at least another three or four instances that we just sit there and go, what is goalie interference again?
As if we're not asking that enough,
yeah,
because
I'm sure there
might be a situation tonight where that gets brought up.
The GM meetings are what, next week?
Right around that time, next week or week after.
Yeah. So we're. By the way, Kunackle is. A little banged up for Pittsburgh, so I kind of figured somebody was hurt, because I saw ice time go down and immediately I looked. It's like radar, Timmy. The injury goes off and it's like the injury ambulance like starts. That is something that we're interested in doing, folks. And we'll put this on Twitter in the next week or two. We want sound clips, seriously. For those that do listen to the show and for those that do follow us on Twitter, we need sound clips. I want an ambulance, and I want to find that godforsaken cow, Timmy.
And the 137 bullet salute.
Well, that should be easy to find. That's readily on YouTube, I'm sure. But yeah, I really wish that the problem was. For those that don't know the story, when we had a lead blog talk, basically, I had the file saved on my laptop, and unfortunately something happened to the laptop where the files, not on the OneDrive, but on my downloads, just went blank. And I didn't lose all of them, but I lost 99% of the sound clips. So, you know, it was unfortunate, and it's hard to find a good robot anymore. Because apparently the robots are now pay per robot, and the recordings are very, very rudimentary. So we'll come up with something. Let's put it that way. I'll find some recorded way of doing it, And hopefully we'll, maybe it won't quite be the same, Timmy, but it'll be something. And I'm sure we can find the Angry Sal clip. That's got to be
The
one of
classic.
this classic game. So all is not lost. But if you are listening, and we'll put it out again, like I said, we'll put it out there on Twitter. You can at underscore Tim Rosenthal or at Chris Wassel DFS. We will gladly appreciate any and all links. Give you a shout out on the podcast or and on Twitter as well. And thank you heartily, because let's face it, we miss our sound clips heavily. We really do. Sometimes you don't realize how good it is until it's gone. And with a lot of our sound clips, it was all you could. The thing was, and we say this to people all the time, you never knew when the sound clip was going to play most of the time. But sometimes it would time out really good, and then sometimes it would just be comically bad. And then, of course, the one that we have to lay to rest, unfortunately, Tim, we can't play the Henrique It's Over.
No.
Just because Henrique is not in New Jersey anymore. So,
and really, it is over. Well, for New Jersey.
It is over. But, again, thank everybody for listening on in. We'll keep those apprised of what our next move is, et cetera. But until then, we'll be on TalkShoe, of course. And for Timmy Rosenthal and myself, we let Mr. Rosenthal, as always, have the last word.
Aloha.